Over the past several weeks, you and I have been engaged in a series throughout Paul's letter to the Romans, and today we are going to conclude that series as we consider some final thoughts. But the point of our series, or the purpose of this series, has been to discover life. We've been talking about moving from death to life in Christ Jesus. And we began in chapter 1, and we looked at the good news that Paul was proclaiming, and that is the good news of King Jesus. As we moved through, we understood our need for a Savior, our need for redemption, and we see how that we are brought together through baptism, through our death, or through death, burial, and resurrection, that we are united with Christ. We've talked about how we are adopted as His sons and His daughters. We join the family of God together. And we've certainly saw in the last couple of lessons, we've talked about how Paul challenges us to be renewed in our minds, to see things from the perspective of the kingdom of God. And so that's where we're going to kind of pick up and where we're going to kind of close as we talk about, or as we think about, what does a transformed life look like? What does that mean? What does that look like to live a life that's been transformed or renewed in our minds? What does that look like? You know, my family, or I should say me, I don't know so much about my family, but I've always enjoyed a backyard garden. It's just something that we did when I was young. My grandparents farmed, and they had a pretty nice place to farm, and we always had a backyard garden. And I know that many of you like to garden. Some of you like doing flower beds, not necessarily vegetable gardens, but you enjoy gardening as well. This year, just because of all the transition and the things that were going on, I just decided not to plant a garden this year. And what I've done is just let this thing grow and just grow whatever was going to grow. So we have got a nature preserve happening in our backyard. It is the wildest thing you've ever seen. I've got weeds growing in my backyard garden that I didn't even know existed. I mean, literally, we've been searching like, what is that? We've got a weed that shot up over 6 foot now. And I'd never seen this thing before. And it's thick, and I don't know, it's just there, it's growing. So it's been interesting to watch that. If you visit my house, you'll know the story why there's this wild patch of land back in the corner of my yard. But to grow a flower garden, to grow a vegetable garden, there's a lot of things that have to take place in the soil. There's a lot of things that are happening in the soil that you and I never see, do we? There's all kinds of life and microorganisms in the soil that produces healthy soil so that we can grow plants. In fact, if this life wasn't happening below the surface of the soil, we would never grow plants. As much as we would try, maybe adding water or making sure it's shielded, if the soil is not healthy, if the soil is not actively engaged in producing what it produces, the plant in the end is not going to survive. It's not going to last. It's certainly not going to produce fruit as it's intended, or it may not flower as beautifully as we had hoped for it to have flowered. What Paul has been doing, what I believe, in the first 11 chapters of Romans, is he's been talking about the soil. He's been talking about things that you and I don't necessarily see. He's been talking about the working of God and the working of the Spirit and what it's doing in cultivating the soil, the activity of God, the activity of the Spirit working in your life that sometimes we don't necessarily see because it's not that visible part that we pay attention to. You and I, we go to our flower garden, we go to our vegetable gardens, and what do we look? We look at the stems, we look at the leaves, we may look at the fruit, and we may say, well, determine on what I'm seeing here, this is a healthy plant. It's doing what it wants, doing what it's designed to do. Or we may look at the leaves and the fruit, and we may look at the stem and say, something's missing, because this particular flower is not producing as it should, right? So what we're doing is we're looking at what's on the exterior, what's above ground. We're looking at what shows up, and we're determining, is this plant healthy or not? But what I want us to consider this morning as we begin to explore Paul's text in this passage is that God is doing so much in your lives, sometimes we don't see all that He's doing. But if He's not doing it, then we're not going to be the type of people God intends for us to be. But here's the thing, God is working. The Spirit is moving. The soil is getting the nutrients, it's getting everything it needs from God, from what Christ has accomplished. And so here's what Paul does in Romans 12 is say, therefore, if you will, I'm inserting that word there. It's actually 12 verse 1, but we're dropping down to verse 9 this morning. But here's the result. Here's what that life looks like. Here's what that fruit looks like when God is working in the soil. We get a glimpse of what it looks like for redeemed people, you and I, who serve a different king. Our lives are going to look different. And that's what I want us to do today, explore what that life looks like. I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to mention it here. If you're able to come back for Bible study this afternoon, our Bible study is going to tie directly into this. What we're going to be talking about this morning is a transformed life. This afternoon, we're going to be talking about a Spirit-led community. Those things go together. So we're going to cover this a bit more this afternoon. But if you will, join me in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. I want us to read this passage out loud. I'm going to try not to stammer and stutter around like I usually do. But I want you to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it's written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. If in doing this, you will heap burning coals on your head. Do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I wanted us to read that in whole section. I wanted you to hear that as we read it together. Do these words, do the rhythm of what Paul is saying here, does it sound familiar to us in some way? And you may be thinking, well, of course, I know Romans and I've read Romans 12 plenty of times. But what I'm talking about, or do they sound like the words of Jesus? Can you hear echoes of the Sermon on the Mount in the words of Paul? Can we hear echoes of Matthew chapter 5 through 7? Paul is, in my opinion, definitely thinking about the teaching of Jesus as he pens this section. It's on his mind. It's on his thought. And he begins, as we work through this passage, with a simple statement. Love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Some translations say that love is to be genuine. Paul begins with love because love is at the heart of God's character. It's at the heart of who God is. If we're talking about what it means to be renewed in our minds, what it means to be transformed in our mind, we have to begin where Paul does, with love. Because that is who God is. Our world will often talk about love. And it'll often talk about its expectation of what love is, or how love should be. But biblical love, I would challenge us, is quite different. Biblical love is not just a feeling. It's not simply affection. Biblical love, especially as we look to Jesus, is sacrificial. It is seeking the good of another person. And Paul begins by describing what this love looks like. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Doesn't that seem so contradictory to what our world seems to teach us about love? The world seems to teach us to prioritize ourselves in the relationship, to honor ourselves in this relationship. Paul tells us, and Jesus told us as well, to honor others, to put them first. Our world teaches us, what's in it for me? Paul teaches us, how do I serve someone else? You see, our Christian understanding about love, it's not shaped by our culture. It should not be shaped by our culture. Because our culture has often a very distorted view of love. But as Christians, we need to be renewed in our minds. The Word of God needs to shape how we understand and how we know love, not our culture. And what do we see about love as we examine the life of Jesus? You may think, or at least I do, of the upper room. And what did Jesus do? He served. He took on the role of a servant. The master, the King of Kings, who would wash the feet of his followers. The one who deserved all honor and glory. Yet choosing in humility to show others honor. That's what love looks like. That's what biblical love is. And as transformed people, that's where we need to get our understanding of love, not from a world, not from a culture around us, but from Jesus, the one we're seeking to follow. Paul continues in verse 13, to share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. There's so much we could say here. But let me just simply say this. Hospitality in the ancient world was so much more than just entertaining someone in our home. Hospitality in the ancient world, when you invited someone to sit at the table with you, when you opened your home to provide a meal, it was a way of accepting your guest. It was a way of welcoming the stranger. This is why it was so controversial for Jesus to sit at the table with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was accepting them. He would challenge them, right? He wouldn't just accept them and allow them to continue to live the life that they were living. He would challenge them, but at the same time, he sat with them. This is why it was so shocking when sitting at the table, there would be a woman run up and listen to a rabbi teaching. This was so shocking. When you sat at the table, it was an acceptance. It was an equal, if you will. And Jesus often sat around tables with strangers, caring for those who couldn't offer him anything in return. And the church became known for this radical type of generosity. Their homes were open. Their tables were places of fellowship. Their lives were an expression of the love that they had received from the Father. That's what transformed people do. A little bit of that, I understand, is cultural. Right? We definitely live in a different culture than they did in the time of the Bible. And I can tell you from experience, it seems like in those countries, you know, there is an attitude of hospitality like we used to have in our country many, many years ago. But we've closed our doors so often today. It's different than even when I grew up. But the church was known for an extreme hospitality. That's what transformed people do. Paul continues in verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Now that word is more than just saying a cuss word, if you will. That's not technically what Paul is saying here. He's talking about pronouncing curses on people, pronouncing curses or misfortune on someone else. Bless those who persecute you, and do not pronounce misfortune on someone else. And again, these words should sound very familiar to the words of Jesus, where Jesus taught, "Love your enemies and pray," Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44, "for those who persecute you." The kingdom of God and kingdom of transformed people operate differently from the culture around us. Paul's describing what happens when our minds are renewed, when we see our neighbors differently, when we see our coworkers differently. When we look at them not as just ways that they can benefit us, but when we begin asking, how can we truly show the hope of Christ? Instead of seeing people as what can they do for me, we begin seeing people as made in the image of God. Instead of viewing people through politics or status or wealth or race or even personal preference, we begin seeing them through the lens of God's love. And Paul moves forward in verse 15. A simple statement. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Simple, but very difficult. It's easy to rejoice, isn't it, when something's going good? It's easy to rejoice when good things are happening, either to us or to someone else. But it's not easy to enter into suffering with someone. It's not easy to enter into someone's pain with them, to sit with them, to share in their grief, to share in their pain. That's not easy. But that's exactly what Jesus did. That's what exactly what Jesus does. And that's what Paul is telling us. As those who live differently, that's what you need to do. We enter into joys with other people, but enter with them in time of sorrow as well. Weep with those who weep. Celebrate with those who celebrate. What is Paul saying? He's saying, become people who truly care about other people, who genuinely care about your neighbor. Don't just be people who have lip service, but be people who sincerely care. Because that's what transformed people do. And then here comes the most challenging statement, as if Paul hadn't punched us in the gut enough. He says in verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Don't repay anyone evil for evil. When someone offends me, when someone hurts me, it seems like my reaction is either I'm going to get defensive or I'm going to pull back. I'm just going to, as we would say today, cancel you. But Paul tells us, leave room for God. Leave room for God's justice. How does it feel to us when someone insults us, when someone hurts us? Understand that. Because they insulted Jesus. They persecuted Jesus. They put Jesus on the cross. And what did our Savior do? He didn't lash out in anger, did he? Paul says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. God is the judge. God is the one who can see often what we cannot see. He knows what we do not know. He's the one to administer justice perfectly. I always got to feel like I need to make a caveat here. And I guess I should. That doesn't mean Christians are to continually take abuse. That doesn't mean Christians are to remain in places of abuse, physically, emotionally. Paul's point here is not that. His point here is addressing a desire for personal revenge. There's a difference there. He's telling us not to return evil for evil or to take justice into our own hands, that vigilante type attitude. Instead, our desire for Christians should be to place our ultimate trust in God. And I think possibly that's one of the most difficult steps of faith we'll ever be asked to take. Is to allow room for God's justice. But that's exactly what Paul's asking Christians to do. Trust in his wisdom, trust in his timing, trust in his perfect justice. And Paul moves forward, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Again, we've heard this before, haven't we? The words of Jesus. This is what it means to live in the kingdom. This is what it means to stop asking, how do I win at all cost? And to start asking the question, how do I reflect the character of Christ into our world today? Paul concludes this section in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I think in many, many ways that could perhaps summarize our entire Christian life and what it means to live in the kingdom of God. Listen carefully. Evil has a way of multiplying itself. How often is the resolution when somebody hits you to hit them back, and that just stops all the anger? Does that happen? Often? How often is it that we see conflict that results in more conflict, and it just keeps multiplying? We don't have to read far in our Bibles to understand this. In fact, Genesis chapter 4, where we start seeing how evil multiplies evil on the face of the earth. Anger produces more anger. Hatred produces more hatred. Violence produces more violence. And yet we've been told over and over the solution is to hit them back harder. Does that sound like Jesus? Has that system worked? I'll let you respond to those questions. Paul says it a different way. The way of Jesus is sacrificial love. The way of Jesus is mercy. It's forgiveness. At the cross, it looked like evil had won the day. But evil was overcome with sacrificial love in the cross. The resurrection declared sin and death and evil do not win. The kingdom of God moves forward when we demonstrate the love of Christ in our lives and not revenge. Some things to consider as we bring everything that we've talked about in this series at least to a close. Think about where Paul has taken us so far. We began with an announcement of King Jesus. We learned that through him we're rescued from sin and from death. We discover God's Spirit dwells within us. We found assurance in the love of God. We've heard the call to be transformed, to be renewed in our minds. And now Paul shows us what that looks like. Looks like love. It looks like hospitality. It looks like being what humans were created and designed to be. So here's the key summary. It's in your notes if you have your notes, but here's the main thing. Transformed people live differently because we follow a different king. Transformed people live differently. They look differently in their world because we follow a different king. We follow King Jesus. And that's going to look different than so many of the kings around us in our culture.